all things said and done here tonight to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, you can be seated. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, it is good up here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord. Well, I have to behave, I'm sure. Glory to God. So we're gonna do that. Amen. We may get a little out of hand. I don't know. We'll just follow the Lord and see what he's got. But God's got some good things for us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't think I need to introduce myself. I think I know most everybody, and you know me. But if you don't, I'm Pastor Jeff Michener. I pastor Mayville and Corey with my beautiful wife down here in the front row. Praise God. And we just so happy to be here, so honored to be able to fill my pastor's pulpit. What an honor it is, you know, to be raised up in this church and then to be used in the pulpit as well. And that's just such, I never take that lightly, and I'm always excited for it. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to get into this now because, well, we need to. Hallelujah. If I don't, I'll go somewhere else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called Believe God for Big Things. Amen. Believe God for Big Things. And we're going to be talking about believing God for big cars. We're going to be believing for big houses. We're going to be believing for big bank accounts. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, that's probably not true. We're not looking at all that. But, you know, really what we're talking about tonight is the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, you know, God's got some big things for us. He's got great things for us to do. And we need to be the people that do it. Amen. We need to be the ones that sign up and say we're willing. Amen. And we're going to, of course, that everything else in our life applies to or connects with that. But I'm excited for this word because of the power that's in it. Amen. And so let's just get into it. We're going to start in Proverbs 29:18. But I'm going to read this one in the King James Version, so I don't have it here. Amen. I just have it on my iPad. Praise the Lord. I always preach out of the New King James Version. I always say it's because I like to understand what I'm reading. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But Proverbs 29:18, and the reason I bring it up in the King, you guys would be used to this scripture probably in the King James, but this actually, I like this, like if you take a little bit out of the New King James and you take a little bit out of the King James, you get a real good version. But we'll read it first in the King James. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. This word vision, I love this word. When you research this, you know, the New King James says where there's no revelation, amen? And that's really what the vision it's talking about here, you know? People need to have an understanding of things. And, you know, when it says perish here, it's not necessarily talking about just death. But it's talking about the plan of God, amen? It's talking about the plan of God not being fulfilled. Where there's no understanding, where there's no revelation of it, the people will never, the people don't get into what God has for them. And so there's a cause and effect there, amen? And I bring up this scripture because it's really important to understand what we have here. We don't just get, you know, we just don't come together to have church. We don't just come together to for a group of people to come together and just hang out and talk about things. But there's something that we're supposed to take away from that, amen? What we need to have revelation of is we need to have revelation of who God is. We need to have revelation of who God is to us. We have to have revelation of who God is, what his character is, who God is to the earth, amen? Because without this knowledge, without this understanding, the plan of God isn't going to come to pass, amen? And so we know that the Lord uses us and we want to be used right, amen? You know, recently I was in a conversation with a young woman who... let's just say it like this. She comes from a different religious background. Amen. And one of the things that this religion taught her was that painting your fingernails was flashy and therefore it was a sin and you shouldn't do that. Amen. And I noticed as she talked about her religion that there was a lot of things that would hold people in bondage and stuff like that. And I love what the Holy Ghost did with me in that moment because the Holy Ghost gave me the answer. You know, the Holy Ghost will always give us the answer. God always wants us to answer correctly. But, you know, he brought up, you know, I looked at her hair and she had blonde hair. And I said, you know, isn't it amazing that God painted your hair blonde, but yet others, you may have brothers or sisters that painted their hair darker. Or there's some people whose hair is painted red. And then I went further with it and explained how, you know, we have trees. Isn't it amazing how God has so many different kinds of trees and flowers and stuff? And then in the fall time, especially around here, you know, she grew up around here, so she understood. And each tree, they give different kinds of colors, and some are more magnificent than others. And I said, isn't it amazing how flashy God is? You know, and how flashy that God would, you know, he could have made one tree that serviced us all. He could have made one kind of grass that serviced us all. And in fact, he could have made us all look the same, and that would have been fine. But I said, think about that. How many different colors of people there are, and how many different, tones of skin and of course, hair, and then textures and all these things. I said, isn't God a flashy God? Amen. And the reason I bring this up now is because the Bible tells us that what may be known of God can be seen in his creation. Amen. In Romans 1 there, it talks about how creation speaks about our Heavenly Father and who he is. Amen. And so as we look around, we need to understand this. We need to understand that God can be seen in a reflection in all of us and all the things that we have. Amen. Why is this important? Well, it's important because without understanding that, you won't understand God. You see, people all the time, they're not believing God big. They're not trusting God. They're not coming from the standpoint of where God is coming from. And that's why a lot of people get tripped up. That's why a lot of people miss out on what God has for them. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. I want to turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. This is a scripture we know around here, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, praise God. I love this scripture. I go to this scripture all the time, but, you know, there's so much in it, and there's so much that we need to understand about it. Amen? Praise God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen? This scripture is so fundamental to our faith. It's so important to everything that we do, everything we're going to get into, every plan, every path that we follow. This scripture is something we really need to understand. And so before we get into that scripture much more, I want to take you on a little journey. Amen. We want to understand some things in this. Something that God we know about God is that God reveals himself through the entirety of the Word. We don't just find God in one scripture. Now, we can find things about God in one scripture. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we have to understand God through the entirety of the Word. Amen? So, praise the Lord. So in this, I've started to learn, seeking God, seeking him through his Word, I've started to learn what it means rejoice as one who finds great treasure. Amen. Because when we get into the Word, when we start digging into it, we really see that there's so much that he has for us. Amen. If you spend time digging, you will be amazed at what you learn. If we learn to follow the Holy Ghost, he is like a metal detector. I wrote this down as I was thinking about this because that's exactly what it is. I'm reading the Word and I follow God and follow the Holy Spirit and what he shows me. All of a sudden, there'll be a little ping in my spirit. You know, something will go off and it'll be like, dig here. And so praise the Lord, I'll dig there, and then I'll get something good out of it, and then there'll be another ping, and I'll dig there, praise the Lord, and then I'll get something more out of it. And today as I was putting the final touches on this, this message really came to me a few weeks ago, but as I was putting the final touches on it, I started getting those. And we are talking about the plan of God, but we have to understand some things about God, amen? And so to do that now, we're going to go back to Exodus. Praise the Lord. And I know we're jumping around a little bit here, but I think this is going to make sense by the time we're all done. Exodus 3, verse 11. Praise God. You know, some of you may have seen in Mayville one year, we came up with these t-shirts. It said, God is God. And this was a scripture. These were the scriptures that referenced, amen. And some people made fun of it a little bit. They thought, you know, God is God. Well, yeah, that's pretty evident. But it's not really evident to a lot of people because a lot of people don't understand who God is. You know, as if you were to, you know, if you were to mention my name to somebody like my wife who knows me and understands me, you know, she would think of me as I am, amen? And she knows me better than anybody else here, and so she would think of me, she would think of me according to that way. But no, not everybody's going to think of me on that same level. But the same thing is with God. God, we see things about God that are very specific and very very pointed, amen? And we need to understand what that's all about, because if we don't understand that, then we aren't going to understand where he's taking us, amen? Okay, in verse 11, it says, Exodus 3:11, it says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" So right here in context, what we're seeing is this is where God is about to do something big, right? He's about to take his people who have been in slavery, who have been wrapped up in bondage to the Pharaoh. He's about to take them out. He's heard their cries, right? He's heard their pleas. God's fixing to answer them, amen? And so we see him moving on the man of God to do this. And Moses at first, you know, he's looking, he's like, "Who am I?" And see, this is a place where so many of us start, because so many of us are, you know, we get a call or we get the, you know, we hear the pastor produce vision or promote vision and puts it out there, you know. And we think, you know, we always start thinking like, who am I to help here? Who am I to do this? You know, if pastor, even I'm going to take even something simple like an offering. You take like an offering and pastor will talk about raising money. And I remember when this would happen in my life and pastor would talk about raising big numbers and I was like, well, I don't have any, I can't really change that at all. You know, what we can put in is so little. It's the same as saying, who am I? And see, because we're focusing on the wrong thing. See, in that time, we're looking at ourselves and we're not looking at who our God is. See, we're connected to a vision here through this church, through the family churches. We're connected to something much bigger than what we are. And it's never going to happen. The fulfillment of that is never going to happen unless we decide to believe God big. Now listen, it's not that we believe God for, you know, specifically that we have to believe him for a big paying job or anything like that, but we need to believe God for his plan, the fulfillment of his plan, for things that are so much bigger than what we can accomplish. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Then it goes on to say, "So he said," God said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Okay, now when I was reading this scripture, now I was brought here not because of this scripture, but from one we're going to read in a few minutes. But when I was brought here, there's something that really stood out to me in verse 12. And that's, it says, "I will certainly be with you." Instantly in my spirit, I got a little ping, amen? I started like, there's something there. There's something more to that. And I recall the scripture that's in Matthew. And I just want to pull this up. Don't change your place there. If you want to write it down for a later reference, that's fine. But we'll pull it up here. Matthew 28:20. I love, this is the very last scripture in Matthew. I'm not even going to turn it down. I'm just going to read it here. But this is what Jesus said. This is the last thing he said to them. Amen, in Matthew. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded." He's commanding them to go out and teach the world, be disciples to all nations. "Teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So we see this way back in Exodus. And then we see it way, you know, thousands of years later come out in Matthew. A similar thing. This is a really interesting, let me just get into it. This is what I was focusing on. The whole I am. You know, God said, "I am with you." Amen. Now this word, so I started doing some research and I was gonna bring out all this fancy stuff. And I thought, man, if I do that, I'm just gonna confuse myself. And I don't wanna confuse you, because if I'm confusing myself, I'm definitely gonna confuse you. Amen. But the word I am is a very descriptive word. You know, we read over this, we just think about this, but, you know, we might just read over it and not think about it. We'll think about it quickly, but maybe not think about it too much. But there's a lot in those two words, amen? The word I there is actually, it's actually translated ego, which I thought was pretty interesting. But when, you know, when somebody's got an ego, they think a lot about themselves, amen? There's something that comes out in that meaning. But the word is descriptive. And the Bible, in the translation, the concordance says that it's only used emphatically. Amen? In other words, he puts great emphasis on it. When he uses that word, it's emphatic. So it makes sense when the word's ego, but he's talking about I, and he's bringing out great emphasis on that word, that it doesn't just mean I passing, you know, like all of us think, but it means I, God, you know what I mean? Like the things that God does, amen? Praise the Lord. This I is not just a loosely used I, but a description of who the I is. Does that make sense? So it's not just I like him, but it's a description of who he is. Amen? And when it's used there. In other words, if you know who I am, then when I say I, you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. Just like if someone said to my wife, you know, your husband, instantly she knows some things about me. There's a way she thinks, there's a way she understands me. And so that's why if somebody says something about me that she knows isn't true or uncharacteristic of me, she can say quite emphatically, she can say, that's not my husband. Amen. She knows that it's not. But see, this is the same way that the Bible is talking about God here. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further because the other word used here is am, and I can't pronounce that one in the Greek, so I ain't going to try. But it means together it means I exist or be or become. And again, it says used only when emphatic. And so what you see here is God is the God who is, who becomes, praise the Lord. I love it this way, because if you read that scripture a little bit differently using these same words, it could say, I exist with you always. I am who I am with you always. What the nature of God, when he's with us, when he says, I am here, the nature of God is with him there. It's not just God showed up. You know, when people say God so often, they think, oh, gods. They can say gods or talk about gods. And if you talk about it in the world, there's no big G. It's only little g. It's only, you know, it's just kind of it's a commonly used word. But see, with God, when he says, I am God, there's a bigger meaning to that. There's so much more to that than just I am God. That you know, it's emphatically speaking, it's like Jesus is saying, I am the one. I am the, you know, and you just put in, I am the Savior. I am the Redeemer. I am your help. I am your healer. I am all these things. And of course, we see that through all of Scripture, that God, you know, it's very important to God. You know, we have to remember this. God, oh, he changed Abram's name to Abraham because it meant something. And he wanted what was meant to come out, amen? And so God, when he's speaking of himself, does the same thing. And he could use no bigger word than I. Praise the Lord. I exist is descriptive. He is the one who is. He is the one who was. And he is the one who will always be, amen? Who God is, his nature exists with us. So when Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, what he's saying, he was giving them direction to go out and do the things that he called them to do. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, praise the Lord. Go out there and make disciples of all men and all nations, praise the Lord. And he says, I, the one who exists, the El Shaddai, the God who always is, always will be, the all-powerful, the creator of the universe, I am with you always. And see, what we're building on here and what we're starting to understand is that when God gives us direction, as he was given Moses back then, we're going to go back there and see how it applies there as well. But when he's giving us direction, he's saying, all that is with you. And see, people so often, when they get the direction of God, they feel like, I can't do it. I can't come out of my shell. I can't be this. I can't be that. And it's because the focus is on the wrong eye. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's go back to Exodus. We're going to continue reading. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I am come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Could just say God, right? I mean, if a man came up to you and said, God sent me to you, that's sounds pretty powerful. But see, Moses, I don't know why, but Moses knew that there needed to be something more than that. It needed to be just another, more than just another flake saying, God spoke to me. Do you know what I'm saying? It needed to be something more than just another person who had a vision. It needed to be more than just another person who had a dream. I got to bring something to back this up. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this, I love this because this is how God answers him. Let's see, in verse 14, he says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to him." Again, here we see the word am means be, become, or come to pass. That's pretty amazing to me. And guess what else the concordance says? It's always used emphatically. In other words, it's an exclamation. God isn't just saying, oh, just tell him some God came to you. No, the creator of everything, the one who sets free, the one who builds up, the one who makes everything just by speaking it, the one who's given us faith, that one, that same one that saved us, the one that came to earth and lived here perfectly and then died for our sins and then rose again, that same one, he's the one who's come to you. Amen? This is very, very, very important for us to understand, because if we don't get these things, then when God is giving us direction, we're not going to do it. We're going to find reasons why we can't. But at the same time, what happens is people hear the direction and they don't see the need to connect with it the way that they're supposed to. And see, a lot of things God has sent us, you know, God speaks to us in three main ways that I know of through Scripture. He speaks to us through Scripture, amen. So that's, and all these things will work in conjunction with each other. He does it with the leading of the Holy Ghost, but he also uses the pastor that he gave us. See, God, and this is why so many people, if they are connected wrongly, if they're not connected to the right place, they're not going to get the full plan of God for their lives. They're not going to get into those things that God really has for them. You can't do it on your own. It's an impossibility. Why? Because God designed it that way. God has connected us and he's spoken these. Now, God will speak to you about things. I'm not saying that there aren't things in your life that will be different from your pastor's life or other people's. Yes, God will direct you. He will have you minister to people. But ultimately, God brings us together as a body. He brings us together as a unit. And the Bible even tells us that when we come together as a unit, we need to act like a unit. Amen. We can't have the foot doing what the hand does. We can't have the nose doing what the butt does. Amen. It doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? We all got to work in our place. We all got to be what God has created us to be and then what God has brought us together to be. Yes, we can have these, you know, things that we do. Yes, you're going to have your own ministry. The work of the ministry is what we're being trained for. Amen. But we have to understand that we have to come together as a body under God, doing the things and fulfilling the vision that he has for that body. Amen. And God always does so, always did so, and will always do so through leadership. He will always do it through a leader. He always did in the Bible. You can't argue that he doesn't. You've never seen lone wolves doing anything in the Bible. You see God working through the ways that he's ordained. So why is all this important to us? Why do I bring all this up? Because there's a big vision. There's a big plan. You know, Pastor Brad and I and my wife were talking in the office beforehand, and we were talking about all the need. I was like, and I said to him, and I've had this realization lately, that we could start 20 more family churches right now. There's need for it in this area. I mean, within a, you know, just a few hours radius. You could start all the, but see, the Bible says, and it's true when it says, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the reason labors are few is not because there's not people that are capable of it, but it's because there's people that aren't connected to the vision. There's people that aren't connected to what God has. And see, what they do is they come to church and they're looking for relief in their finances. They're looking for relief in their life. And the whole time, what God's trying to do is say, look at me. He said, I am. And the reason God said, I am, is because you don't need to. See, he told us, I am, so we would understand that everything that we have to do, we can do it, because it's not by us that's doing it. It's by him who already did. But see, what people do is they sit around in their stew and they start smelling up the place, amen, in their sauce, because all they're doing is listening to the dumb thoughts that come in. I can't do this. I got to do this. I can't do this. I got blah, 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 blah. There's always reasons why people can't be in church. But it's not the direction of God. You won't fulfill the plan for your life. You won't fulfill the plan. You will hinder the body to a degree. Amen. You know, there's things that we're supposed to get into. We can't get into as a body because not everybody is connected to it. Now, I believe that we will. But see, we need to keep pushing towards these things. Amen. It's important to understand. So we see that with God, he's talking about who he is. And he talks about who he is both times in relationship to what we are supposed to do. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if any of you are getting that, but it really meant something to me when I'm reading this and I realize, wait a minute, everything that I'm called to do is in relationship to who he is. Everything. So we look at the small details instead of just getting on what God has already set forth in motion. Amen. So now I want to flip back to Hebrews 11:6. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love what God does in the local church. Anybody who is not local church minded are people who they're not kingdom minded. If somebody doesn't think about the local church, if I'm not just talking about, okay, well, you know, the lawn needs mowed, the windows need painted, all that stuff's important. But I'm talking about what the local church does. You know, when people are just casual about the house of God, when I mean casual, I mean they could take it or leave it. Everything with it is just, you know, they could be there, they could not be there, you know, there's stuff that takes them away easy and stuff like that. I'm not just talking about in person, but I'm talking in mind. There's people, inevitably, there's people on any given Sunday morning or Saturday night that I preach, there's people that aren't hearing a word you're saying. There's people that come up to me after the service sometimes. If any of my people hear this and they just came up to me, I'm not necessarily talking about you, but I'm just saying that there's people that have come up to me after the service and they're saying, I have this issue. And I said, I preached about it this week. You were there. But I also preached about it last week and you weren't there. So God was giving the people their answers. And see, all the whole time what it does is Satan brings these problems to people because he knows that people are going to sit on their problem. They're going to sit there and whine about the problem. They're going to think about their problem. They're going to see their problem. And then when they're looking at their problem all the time, guess what they're not seeing? They're not seeing the plan of God. They're not seeing the direction of God. They come into church and they're like, they're sad because something's going on in their life and they don't realize that it was set up by the devil so it could take their eyes off the plan of God and get them focusing on something that doesn't even matter. And see, this is the sad thing. We've talked about this before. You know, we talk about this stuff privately. I guess openly too, but we will all stand before Jesus someday. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Jesus isn't going to, it's not going to go over well. Actually, you wouldn't have, I got to be careful what I say. You wouldn't have the, how do I say this in the Christian language? You wouldn't have the guts. How is that? You won't have the guts to stand before Jesus and say, you know, Lord, I know that you had things for the church to accomplish, but I wasn't doing my part because I got distracted. Because, we were just tired this week, so we didn't go to church. Bam. I didn't feel good, so I didn't go to church. Well, listen, like if you're truly sick, if you're truly, you know, if you're not feeling good, you have to use wisdom. But here's the thing. There's people that will perpetually stay out of church because of whatever, and they don't realize that that's where the healing is. That's when we come together. That's where their help is. There's people that are struggling with stuff. They won't come to church because they gotta work two jobs or whatever, and then they realize their help was there all along. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the God, the I am God, you remember that God that is, and I don't think I brought that out enough about who he is, but he's everything. He's all our needs, all everything we need, all the answers to every problem you'll ever have, that's found in I am. Amen. That's where that is. That's there for you. Amen. To connect you. But guess what? He ain't going to do it in the woods. I love the woods. I love the wilderness and stuff like that. But he ain't going to do it there. He isn't going to do it at the barbecue. He's not going to do it at the picnic. He's not going to do it at graduation parties. He's not going to. Listen, I'm just speaking from the heart here. This is the truth. And really, this is a pastor's heart. Because the thing is, God gives us a really interesting job. He tells us, I'm going to give you vision. And it's easy to get excited when you have the vision. So you would think, well, the pastor is the most blessed, right? Because they get the vision, they get to run with it. But see, here's the thing. He also says, now take that vision to a bunch of people I haven't given the vision to and get them stirred up and get them hooked up to go on with the vision. Now, there's the interesting part of it, amen? Now, I love pastoring. There is nothing in my life that I would rather do than pastor. It is the greatest joy that the Lord has given me to, you know, aside from like, you know, my family and stuff like that. But I just can't imagine being more blessed than what I am right now. I'm excited for more because I believe God big. Amen. But I can't imagine more. Amen. And so, I'm just so excited for what, I don't know how I got where I was going with that, but praise the Lord. Let me get back to this because I see the time's taken away too. Praise the Lord. What did I tell you? Hebrews 11:6. Amen. God blesses us. He wants us, you know, he's given us a great life, but you know, it is interesting at times that the ultimate test of patience is once you've become a pastor. You think you learn patience now. But listen, if you're called to pastor or anything like that, then there's a greater patience coming, praise the Lord. Because that's the other thing. He'll give you the vision and you'll say, I want you to do it with this group of people. So it's like when they want to do it, that's when it'll happen. You understand what I'm saying? Like seriously, I mean, I can't explain that, express that anymore. Here's the thing. God, people don't realize if people just hooked up to God's plan and ran with it, they don't realize like all the answers that they need for all that stuff, if they just put that aside, but it's that stuff they bring to the forefront. And because they bring that to the forefront, that's what they miss out on. All right, so now we're going to reread this verse, Hebrews 11:6, and we're going to look at it in light of who God is. Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Praise the Lord. It's impossible to please him. Faith is believing God at his word. That's the basic, most basic, the way we can look at it. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Guess what that word is means? It means to become. That's what it means when you look that up. So we talked about that before. I am means he is the one that becomes, right? You have to believe that he is the one who becomes. Becomes what? The fulfillment of everything he said. If he said, go down here and you're going to do this and that, praise the Lord, then everything that's attached to that, that's what he becomes. He fulfills that. He fills that in us. So this is the first thing. Not just believe that God exists, that he is real, because the Bible says, a fool who says in his heart, there is no God. You know, we see that. The demons believe there's God. It's not just believing that God is, that he is a real God. Again, if we look at Romans 1, it tells us that God is seen in everything. We cannot possibly look at everything. I mean, if you start researching anything about evolution or anything like that, and you start seeing how impossible it is for one cell, but we don't just have one cells. Look at the variation. And God did that because he's ego. Amen? Because he is. Yeah, that's what he is. I'm not talking about ego in a bad sense. I'm talking about the word ego. I'm talking about the, because he is. Because we look at that and be like, all right, so God's going to have a hard time getting this to me. God's going to get a hard time getting me through this or getting me over this hurdle. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, part of the reason we come together is to exhort one another. And see, this is praise God, hallelujah. If we don't come together to the place where we get fed, to the place where we get exhorted, to the place where we get built up, then when the devil comes to tear us down, guess what happens? We get torn down. If we don't come to that place with the expectation of being built up, because without faith it's impossible to please God. So you can't just come to God. You have to come there with the expectation. You know what? I'm getting something today. I'm going to tell you what. I cannot miss, unless it's the direction of God, I could not miss a month of church. I couldn't do it. Because I have revelation of what I need and what I'm connected to. If you can, then you don't have revelation of what you need and what you're connected to. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is the truth. People do this all the time, and then they think that I'm getting nasty because I'm saying something about, listen, I don't say stuff. I preach about this stuff all the time, but I don't say stuff about it because I'm trying to tear people down. I'm trying to get people, listen, you got a problem, and you post it on Facebook or post it on wherever. You talk about your problem. You talk about it with your friends. The reason you're always getting beat up and tore down is because you're not doing the very basic things that God's done, set up to fix you up. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the reason he's done that is he made it easy for us so we could get into his plan so we can go do his work. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, that word is, again, it becomes your God and all that is entailed in that. And we have to understand that. All our answers are found in who God is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's see, I want to go on. I want to finish reading that. So we must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, I was thinking about when I met my wife, I diligently sought her. Amen. I was after her, man. There was nothing, like I was ready to forsake all just to follow her. There was nothing that was going to stop me, amen. I still feel that way, amen. Praise the Lord. You just ask her. She can't walk through the house without having me tailing her. Because that's just the way that it is, amen. But that's diligently seeking. I was after her. I am after her. See, so many people, they think, well, if I pray once a month and then I came to church once a month and then talked about God to my neighbor once a month, that I'm good. I've fulfilled my religious duty. Listen, God is a rewarder, but of those who diligently seek him. And this again comes into where this whole believe in God big is comes from, is that his reward, God's reward is not little. God's reward, my life as after I started following God, it changed everything. Every area of my life, every aspect of my life was touched because I followed God. Amen. And continues to be increased. Amen. More joy. I mean, my wife and I were talking, we've had the best summer I think we've ever had. Praise the Lord. Just living and just being in the blessing of the Lord. It doesn't matter what we do. We're blessed everywhere we go. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So much on my heart recently, I preached kind of this along these lines in Erie this week, but so much in my heart about seeking God and truly seeking him. You know, we know Matthew 6:33 that says that we have to diligently seek after God. Amen. We have to, his kingdom, and then all those things will be added to us, right? Praise the Lord. I got my quarter got a little off, but you know what I'm talking about. We've been in those scriptures before. If we're not after God, then we miss out on all that he has for us. And here's the thing. What you thought was blessing you isn't a blessing at all. All the things that I was after in life, all the things that I chased after, that I followed after, all those things, they became like ash in my mouth. None of them meant anything. But the plan of God, I'm going to tell you what. When you see a life that's been changed, when you start talking to somebody who's never heard about the I am, and you start explaining that God to them, when you start telling them about, you know, like that young woman I was talking to, I mean, you could see it. It's like, wow, seriously? You know, like all this garbage that we were taught wasn't right. They start seeing it, and then they start hungering for it, and they get diligent about it. Praise the Lord. But so in light of all that, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Praise God, hallelujah. I love the word. So God is the I am. I hope it means something different to you now. For so long I looked at that scripture, I never really understood what it meant until I started digging in and started realizing that it's the fulfillment of, when God says I am, it's a fulfillment of his promises. That's what he's saying. Every one of his promises is right there. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Praise the Lord. So in light of all that stuff, let's look at these scriptures here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? You do what I tell you to do. Right? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Praise the Lord. Believe God big. We need to bring our faith to that place where we're trusting God for things that are so far beyond our imagination. Things that you just start thinking as big as you can. Because it's in that place that builds that faith, and it's in that place where God is pleased. And that's in that place where God can start moving on us. See, a lot of, I just see this through scripture. You know, anytime God tells people to step out in faith, anytime he did something truly great, he never did it in an easy way. There was no easy way to do it. So you just picture the hardest thing that God could tell you to do. And that's essentially how, if he's going to do something big, that's how he require it. The thing that you can't do. I mean, the thing that is such a mountain before you that you don't even, I mean, that there's no possible way that you would even touch it. And that's what God wants. That's what God's going to move through. That's what he wants to work through. Amen. Eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, those who are doing what God says to do, those who are seeking first the kingdom of God, there it is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those things will be added to you. Praise the Lord. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You cannot imagine how awesome what God has prepared for you is. We can't imagine it. Even today, knowing all the things that I know I still have a few years left, amen? There's still some time that I have. There's still some things that I have to do. And here's the greatest thing about it. I still can't imagine. I can't, you know that song, I can only imagine? I can't imagine. Like the Bible said, but the Spirit will show me. As we're diligent to seek him, as we're diligent to follow him, as we start making God. See, that's the thing. People will make things. They'll think, like, people, they'll even do churchy things, and they'll magnify them above God. You know what I'm saying? The work of the ministry, people get wrapped up in their serving. I've done that. Wrapped up in your serving. You're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. It's the kingdom of God, but you're not seeking God. You're doing projects or whatever. I'm a pastor who does projects, amen? I build stuff in my church. I have a joke with Jeff Trussler. I don't know if he's in here somewhere. Praise the Lord. I've hired him to do a lot of projects, and I always tell him when he's about to start a project, I say, this project I'm going to hire you on, but I said, I am not going to be there to do any of it. And he always knows that I'm lying. Because the first time I get a chance, I'm down there, and then I end up doing stuff, and then we're doing more and more, and then, you know, just that. But see, this is the thing. I found myself getting into that. Instead of believing God just for the finances and to allow it to happen, what I've done is I've started putting lesser things above seeking God. Absolutely. But we could do this with anything. We do this with jobs. We can do this with businesses. We could do this with whatever. If we start seeking things above doing the work of God, what's the work of the Lord? It's tied to whatever your pastor has been led talk to you to do. What's the work of the Lord? Is it planting another church? Is it building a playground? I mean, something as silly as a playground. I say silly as a playground because who would think that in the grand scheme of things that would matter? But if God put it on his heart, there's a reason God put it on his heart. And so guess what? If it's on his heart, then it should be completely on our heart. But that's what people don't realize, is that when the pastor says, let's pay off this building, it means do whatever you can to pay off the building. Praise the Lord. But you don't make those things become a thing where it's like now all you're doing is the playground and you're never seeking God anymore. You're never getting, you stop coming to church, or whatever, because God hasn't called us to that either. You know, I noticed this year. We had a leading in our heart to get in the Mayville parade, amen, up in Mayville. And this, believe me, this is something I'd never do on my own because I just had no interest in it. But we had it on our heart to do this and build a float and rally people. And you know what? We had most of our church stay after one day and decorate this float and do all these things. I've never had any project that we've done where I've had so many people do it. And it was exciting to see that. And I don't know if it was for the community or them, but it showed me something. It's like, why don't people rally like that when it's time to get the building fund? Why don't people rally like that when it's time to plant a church, praise the Lord? Why don't people rally like that? See, because people rally around stuff all the time, but that's the plan of God. You understand what I'm saying? And we got a great church. We got a great heart. Don't get me wrong. We have great-hearted people. But, you know, even that people are like, they're like, are we going to do this next year? I'm like, I don't know. Follow the plan of God, you know. Maybe we will. Maybe we handed out 70 gallons of candy. You know how many people came out for candy? We had people just load up. 70 gallons of candy. Do you have any idea how much candy that is? Praise the Lord. And we gave away most of it in the first 15 minutes of the parade. Yeah, man, I'm telling you what. We were keeping some dentists in business that week. It was crazy just how much. But see, we need to get like that about everything. The plan of God, let's see it come to pass. Let's see it all. We need to rally behind it. We need to believe God for bigger things. And this is the awesome thing, is God ain't going to start you off with $1 million. He's going to start you off on that little bit. He's going to start you off with that one little project. The one little project that's on your heart to do. You know, my wife, that happened to my wife and I. I had no idea that I was called to ministry. I guess I did, but I ignored it. But you know, my wife and I, we came into the church, and I was so thankful to just have a church to teach me the word, you know, and people that weren't a bunch of doofuses, you know. We just had a great group of people up there. It was 40 people when we started coming, you know, and the Lord put it on our hearts to do something. And so my wife and I, we learned to just go after it, and we learned it because we were watching someone else do it. You understand that your pastor, there's nothing that he puts before this congregation that he won't do. There's a reason that I followed Pastor Tim so closely, and it isn't because of his preaching style, although it's great. It's because I saw how dedicated he was to God. Amen. I saw how much after the plan of God was. He was. You know, it didn't matter. I saw how he labored for the plan of God, and just it made it his life. Do you know that's what happens when you pastor? The work of the Lord becomes your life. But you know what's interesting? I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says that's a call of a pastor. That's a call of every born again man, woman, and child. The work of the Lord that's the plan for your life. Whatever God has called us to do, that's what he's called us to do. And so people get tired. You know, people get tired, they get wore out, and I understand that. But again, that's why we come together. We exhort one another in these things, and we say, you know what? You know, I know the work is hard. You know, I know sometimes, you know, there's a lot of, listen, the devil isn't going to let us walk into planting a bunch of good churches. He ain't going to do it. He's going to oppose us every step of the way. Every step of the way. And sometimes it'll look like you're going backwards instead of forward. But see, that's why we stir ourselves up. That's why we come together and we get excited about, listen, if brothers and sisters, we got to encourage one another. Don't get mad when you encourage. Don't be mean to people. But at the same time, we got to lift up each other, encourage one another. Amen in these things. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You cannot know without diligently seeking the plan of God. You cannot know what is prepared. You cannot ever understand that. You will never get into that without diligently seeking God. You're never going to get it sitting on your duff, eating your potato chips, watching your. I love doing all that. Amen. But you're not gonna get it. You're not gonna get the plan of God by doing that. You're not gonna get the plan of God by putting people sometimes they come against churches like ours because they're like, well, you're always at this and that. And it's like, yeah, we're calling people up higher. That's the thing. I didn't always like doing it either. I didn't always like hearing or taking up another offering or another thing for you to do. Listen, if everybody served in the church the way they should, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But see, those ones who do, they're going to realize the big things. They're going to get the big things. They're people who understand that, amen? But see, also, if you're one of those people that are doing a lot of stuff, you have to remember, you have to believe God. You have to not just believe. When we say believe God, it's not just saying, I believe God. I mean, you got to actually believe God that he's going to fulfill it because you're doing it. You just got to be so solid on that you're not going to be moved otherwise. See, it's when we constantly waver, it's when we keep missing it, and then we have to learn it again and learn it again and learn it again. See, God's doing things in us, but we're kind of hindering it sometimes because God's patient. Oh, I love it. He's so patient for us. That's good and bad because he don't mind it taking a while. Yeah, I mean, sooner or later, sometimes God will say, all right, enough is enough. Get up and, you know, let's go. But what I'm saying is if you're going to learn the hard way, God will let you learn the hard way. And he'll be patient. You know, I'm not patient like that. Amen. When I see somebody doing something bad, I want to just like jump all over it and just be like, no, we get it right, get it right, get it right. But that's not God's way. God doesn't do that. That's people go all the way to hell doing that. All the time. People go all the way to hell just following their own way. Praise the Lord. And God's patient. He wants you to come in, but if you're not going to do it, that's not on him. Praise the Lord. What God wants to become in your life is so amazing. And that's what we have to understand about that. God didn't do all this stuff. He set us up in the most perfect way. He showed us his son, and then he told us what he gave us in his son. And we understand what he gave us by giving us his son. And he did that so we would understand that I am. We would understand who I am is. We would understand that there's nothing he would withhold. But we access it by faith and diligently seeking him. 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 Following him around. He wasn't here, well, we're going to follow him over here. If he went here, he went here. It doesn't matter where we go, amen? We're just after it. This, again, you know, I mentioned this, why it's so important to be planted in the right place, because your plan is connected to the place where God's called you. Now, God has let people move from one place to another, and it wasn't his plan, but he's allowed them to do it because he loves them, and it's not God's perfect will, but maybe his permissive will, and so people will be less blessed because they're not where God planted them to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Houses, cars, utility bills, these things, all these things are little. Feeding your children, it's little. It's little, because God said these things don't matter so much, don't even think about it. That's what God said. But all we do is think about these things. All we are is distracted as people. I'm talking about in this nation has made it so easy, you know, this day and age with all the things that we can get into. It's made it so easy for us to be completely distracted by everything other than what God wants to do. And so that's why people are. They're focused on paying bills. And God said, if you just follow me, your bills will be paid. They're focused on getting rich. And God said, if you just follow me, listen, just follow God and he'll make you rich. It doesn't matter. Like, that's the thing. The Bible says light and easy. You know, he said, take upon you my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Did I get that right? Amen? Yoke is easy. Burden is light. What does that mean? It means you just walk along. And it happens. You walk along and it happens. But people are striving for stuff. I'm not talking about not working hard. You understand? We have to have balance here. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, there's hard work to do. You know, when you're driving and you're setting up a church service out of town, we've done this twice now. Praise the Lord. But when you're doing that and you're driving and it's wintertime and you got to load up the truck and unload the truck or the vehicles or whatever, and you got to set everything up and you got to arrange the chairs and do this every week in and week out. See, we're spoiled in churches like this. Amen. We're spoiled when you get to come in and just sit down. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've had people, as we've been planning work, they come up to you and they talk about how busy they are and how they don't have time they didn't have time to be in that service. And you're like, you have no idea. You have no idea, because we still had to work and do all these things too. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. What God wants to become in your life is so amazing. Keeping yourself in your plan keeps you out of God's plan. Following your desire keeps you from hearing his spirit. This is where people get tripped up all the time. It's because they're following their plan, they're following their desire. God will give you the desires of your heart. You know, Psalm 37 tells us that. You know, God wants you to be blessed. He wants you happy. If you don't know that, well, then we got to start all over with another message. I don't want to do that. God wants you blessed. He wants you happy. If we can just settle that, that's the very basic of I am right there. Very basic is that he wants you blessed, he wants you happy. Good parent, God wants you blessed, God. It's not a hard concept to get, but for some reason, we still get tripped up in it. God wants us to follow his plan, though. Amen. Turn with me, James 4:7. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love the word. Might just start singing a song. It's coming. Don't get me going. Because I can't sing. But I'll sure give it a good try. Amen. James 4:7. Praise the Lord. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Very, very important thing here. Submit to God. It's something we can, you know, we love here and resist the devil, he'll flee, right? Great. That's wonderful. It's great that the devil has to flee, but there's a first big part of that, submit to God. Submit to his plan, not your plan. Submit to his way, not your way. Do what he says, not what you want to do. Praise the Lord. See, God's blessing. See, what we do is we are so spoiled in this country because we have people that have rights. And because we have rights, man, don't we want to tell everybody we got rights? Well, I don't have to do this. I got rights, you know. Praise the Lord. I voted for this. That's why people want to vote in church, because they vote in this nation. They want to vote for the plan of God in church. I love that concept. I don't know why people, grown people who are intelligent, college-educated Christians, and they vote in church. Like, where would God, why would we think that God, why would our egos be so big? That's because we make us that I am and not him the I am. Because people, you know, why would they think that God is going to consult them? He created everything without you. Everything. He created you without you. You know, he enlisted your parents, but that's about it. Praise the Lord. He created everything that is without us. So why do we think that we got a say in it? But see, so for some reason, we've been taught in this wonderful nation. I ain't going to bash this nation because it's a wonderful place to be. I'm so thankful for it. Without this nation, we wouldn't have the gospel out there like we do. We have been blessed, and we need to remember that. Amen? But we have to also remember that sometimes things that are a blessing to us, if we don't watch it, can, you know, it's like cake, right? Cake is a blessing, right? Right? To a certain degree. Amen? Praise the Lord. I let it be a blessing too often. Too often. Praise the Lord. But no, we have wonderful rights in this nation, but we have to understand that that doesn't mean that it's bad to, you know, discipline isn't a bad thing. You know, working hard isn't a bad thing. Doing what you're told to isn't a bad thing. I was thinking about this, you know, if we, you know, people like literally adults, grown adults, start acting like little babies when you start talking about what sin is and what you don't want, what God doesn't want us to do. And we realize, like, listen, if you drove that way, dear Jesus, what would happen out there? Can you imagine going out there and being like, well, I don't want to listen to that stoplight because I want to drive the way I want to drive. And I don't care about the speed limit. Well, we do that a little bit sometimes. But I'll drive as fast as I want to drive. And I want to drive backwards today. That's my prerogative. That's the way I want to do things. So I'm going to do it that way. What if we did that with other things that are so important, right? But yet we do that with all these other things. God said, don't do this because it destroys you. People do it, get destroyed, they blame God for it. It's just foolishness, and it's like God is trying to help us. He wants us to believe him for big things. He wants us to look at him and say, yes, Heavenly Father, I know that you got a big plan. I don't even know what the whole plan is, but I know this much of it, and because I'm going to get in, because I know how good you are, I'm going to get into it, and as I follow that, I'm going to be blessed, and the more that I do it, excuse me, the more I'll be blessed, the more God wants to do, amen, because we go from glory to glory. All these things we hear all the time. I mean, we hear this stuff all the time, so when are we going to start believing it? When are we going to start saying, you know, what we do? Why? Because there's opposition. Jesus, again, told us that there was going to be opposition. There's opposition. The opposition is to get you to look at the opposition. And yet people, they don't stop looking at the opposition. They get the opposition, and then they go after the opposition like it's the thing to go after. And God say, no, over here, over here. And he sends you a pastor who says, no, over here, over here. This is where the blessing is. They're like, opposition, opposition. They're going after. Everything's so bad. Things are bad. Sometimes things don't feel good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tried to tell that personal trainer of ours that. I told her, I was like, this don't feel good. She told me to quit whining. And we come back and pay her again. Because you understand that by the time you're 42, you start realizing you can't live any way that you want to live. If you don't move it, you're going to lose it. She told me, she's like, one of the things she said to me, she's like, you got a few years left. We can still build things. And I'm like, wait a minute. I never thought of it, but, you know, like a few years, not that I was going to die, but a few years to still build strength and muscle and stuff like that. I just thought you just continually do that. I didn't realize there was a time where it dropped off, but it made sense because it probably goes the way of the metabolism. Amen. Praise God. God wants us blessed. We have to believe him for big things, but in believing him for big things, we have to believe him for big things. We have to believe that he is bigger than that trial. We have to believe that. I don't just say it. We can't just say it. Saying it isn't enough. A confession that isn't backed up with faith is not a confession. You're just spouting off at the mouth. We have to learn. We have to do these things that we're taught to get into it. Amen. Listen, it doesn't always feel good, and that's fine. It doesn't have to feel good. We don't look at what doesn't feel good. Why would we want to anyways? It doesn't feel good, right? Well, praise the Lord. I mean, it's like if you had like a bruise or something, you just kept poking it. That's what we do as human. We're just like, poke that bruise. Broken pinky, you know, you just keep going after it. It's like, no. Praise God. James 4:7. Did I tell you to turn there? James 4:7. Therefore, we read part of it. That's right. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Resist. Resist. You know, pushing weights. Resist. This is my new thing, because not because I've been doing it all summer, because I haven't been doing it all this summer. Praise the Lord. You get distracted. And you don't do those things which are good for you. You know what I mean? But it's the same. Resist the devil. He starts attacking you. Resist the attack. Resist the temptation to think about the attack. Resist the temptation to wallow in the attack. Resist the temptation to make everybody else know about your attack. Because it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. I love people, dear, sweet, praise the Lord, Christians that come to you. And the devil's after me. Yeah, he's after everybody. It's the way it is. You're right. He didn't want you to come to church today. He didn't want you to help anybody. Certainly didn't want you to talk to Jesus about anybody. And he didn't want you to talk about I am. He doesn't want you to believe I am. Yeah, that's the devil. He does bad things. Why are we surprised? Right? Praise the Lord. It isn't what the devil's doing. It's what we do. Amen. It's what we, how we connect to what God did. Amen. So then it goes, in verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, praise the Lord. The preacher always says things, bad things to me. He always says not nice things to me. Listen, we don't need safe rooms. Safe rooms are not something. We got the Holy Ghost. We don't need a safe room. If you need a safe room, you need to come to church more often. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we see that we got to draw near to God, right? Submit to him. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. So you submit to the plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not following my own plan. Following his plan. Resisting the devil. Even though I don't want to do these things, even though my flesh doesn't, I'm not going to follow after. Do you realize how many people don't, the devil doesn't even have to tempt? I mean, people just get into stuff. They get all stupid things in their own head. The devil didn't even have to say anything about it. That's the truth. I mean, that is absolute 100% truth. Okay, so you're there. Skip down to verse 13. Praise the Lord. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. You know, I mean, this says it in maybe words that we don't necessarily use today. But listen, this is just talking about doing your thing. That's what it's saying. Come now, you who say, I'm going to do my own thing. Follow my own plan, just doing what I want to do. Amen? Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, so often we lose sight of, is that really this life, we're here for such a short time. We got this much time to do the work of the Lord. We have this much time to come together and believe God for those big things. Listen, the big things aren't just, I mean, all the things are found in the big things. But you know, the big things is the plan of God. Believing God to fulfill his word to us. That when something's been prophesied, that it's going to happen. When something has been brought out, you know, and I'm talking about real stuff. I'm talking about stuff that has foundation, that has something we can stand on. You know, and one of the greatest things is as I go around, as I travel around, we like to travel. But one of the greatest things that we see is the need for Bible teaching churches. For people to spread this gospel, and it doesn't happen unless people are connected to it. People won't connect to it unless they believe God will fulfill it. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is even a vapor and appears for a little time, then vanishes away. The vapor will disappear quickly in distraction, and you will miss all that God has for you. And this is why people don't realize, this is really what distraction is all about, is getting people to just, they get into that place where you know, they're always thinking about this. You think about that. Think about being attacked. And if you've gone year after year after year and it's the same thing all the time, it's the same trial all the time, your focus is wrong. Your focus is not God. God gave you victory. He gave you the way out of it. If it's the same stuff over and over and over, your focus is wrong. You got to get your focus on God. Now listen, I'm not saying that we don't go through things. Of course we go through things, and sometimes things will take a little bit of time to get over. But we have to come together and stand in faith, and we have to get to that place where we realize that we have to put our focus on God's plan and not what we're doing. Because really, this is something that I've learned, is that a majority of what people go through is brought on by themselves. A majority of it. That's just the truth. Most things I can correct in a short time. If I've ever had a counseling appointment, most things are so easy for, I mean, it's not even hard, because somebody who follows the Holy Ghost and knows the word a little bit knows that these things are easily fixed. Most people's problems, praise the Lord. You know, I love it when people come to me with a problem, and to them it seems so big. But I've learned that it's just not. It just isn't. And sometimes people think that we're a little bit, maybe a little bit callous, because we're not jumping right on board with the problem, but the problem's easy. It really is. It's not that hard. All the answers, sometimes we need to be brought to the knowledge of those answers, and that's one of the things a pastor is for, amen? Praise the Lord. But in the distraction, we'll miss what God has. Well, spent so much time focusing on this. You know what sleight of hand is? You know, a magician, they do things, and most of the time a magician, the reason they can do these tricks is not because they're actually magic, but because they're doing something over here but they're also doing something over here, or something else is going on. There's always an answer to the what's going on. There's always an answer to the conundrum, the problem, amen? It's always there. Now, I know I want to finish up here pretty quick. Just turn with me, Jeremiah 29:11. I've been brought back here so often lately. And I know we know these scriptures. But we have to get these in us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Of course, we know that word thoughts means thoughts and plans. We know God doesn't think thoughts without plans. For I know the thoughts and plans that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So we understand that in God's plan, there's a future and there's a hope. There's something that's enjoyable for you. There's something you'll love. There's something that means something to you. There's lots of things in that. Eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for them. In God's plan, all that stuff is there, but that's the ultimate in faith, isn't it? Is that we got to be able to say, wait a minute. You know, some people say, well, I want my kids to experience. If your kids aren't experienced in church, they're not experiencing anything. They're not. If church isn't the primary thing in their life, if the house of God isn't the primary thing, I'm speaking to somebody in here. Praise the Lord. Maybe more than one. But if church isn't the primary thing, listen, my kids love church. I have a 10-year-old daughter here who loves going to church. And it does not because naturally on her own, she just loves. She's a great girl. Praise the Lord. I love her. She's wonderful to be around. Great, a great personality, all that stuff. But she doesn't go to church just because it was naturally what she wanted to do. It's because church is an important thing in our household. Being part of the body of Christ means everything to us. The plan of the Lord means everything to us. So it means everything to her. And if your kids don't know that, it's going to be sad. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day you're going to be sorry. You'll be sorry. Praise the Lord. No, we make it the most important thing. Amen? Because that's where God's plans are realized. That's where that hope is realized. You know, the Bible says to be planted in the house of the Lord and flourish in his courts. There is no other way. If you're not planted, you aren't going to flourish. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 12, then you will call upon me. Then, after you recognize the plan, after you've submitted yourself, after you've resisted the devil, after you're going after what God is after for you, amen? Once you've realized, see, all that stuff is found in the plan, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm going to tell you something. I've had a lot of blessings in my life, but one of the greatest blessings is when I sit down before the Lord and I start reading his word. And he starts speaking to me on the inside. When God starts becoming real to you, there is nothing better than that. And all of a sudden, man, it's a driving force in your life. And you're like, I'm not saying I do everything perfectly, but there's days where I wake up and I just do the right thing. And I just get right in the word. I don't do anything else. Open my eyes, turn on my phone right to the word. You know what I mean? I start reading the word. And all of a sudden, God starts speaking. I find that God is with me all day long. He will speak to me. One day I was driving with Caleb. This happened just a week or two ago. We're just driving. I said, you know, as we've been driving, God has just been talking to me and talking to me and talking. It's been real. And giving me answers for things, answers for people, answers for my life, answers for the direction for the church, answers for in the word. Praise the Lord. He just keeps continuing because God just wants to fellowship with us. And you find that this is the biggest thing. This is the greatest thing that there is. There is nothing that you can even compare to it. Because in that place is peace, ultimate peace, the most peace that you'll ever have. Amen? We have to diligently seek after him. We have to search him with all of our heart. Not just a portion, not just the leftovers, not just what we can give, but everything that we are. Praise the Lord. Stay in God's plan. Stop fighting it. Ultimate blessing is attached to his plan, not ours. Being planted in the right place will keep you in it. Being planted in, listen, no man decides where you get planted. God and you decide that. Or you decide by the direction of God. But once you've decided that, God isn't uprooting you and moving you every other week. He isn't uprooting you and moving you every other month. God has a plan and a purpose for where you are. And if you're, you know, that's the thing about a tree. You plant a tree, and the first year put a tree in the ground, you don't see much growth. The next year, you might not see much growth. But I'm telling you what, as that tree is planted in the right soil, good soil, oh man, it flourishes and flourishes and flourishes. And we see oak trees after years and years and years, these big, beautiful trees, and they're desired after and highly sought after. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, because that's what God has for. That's the same thing with us. But if you took that oak tree and you dig it up every month and you move it to a different place, or you pull it out of the soil for a few weeks, see it's not going to be good. It's not going to bode well. It will not. You cannot flourish apart from God's plan. You cannot flourish in it. And if you can't do that, if you don't understand about connecting to God's work and believing him big for his plan, all the things you desire in life are found in his plan. Bigger than you can imagine. But you got to get connected to it. You got to get after it. You got to get hungry for it. It's got to be something more to you than just a fleeting thought. Church isn't a sideline. The body of Christ is not a side thing. It's not just something you do in your spare time. If it is, you'll never experience all God has for you. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. Lord, we praise you for your goodness, your love. We praise you for all the things. We praise you for your word, God. We praise you for direction. Lord, I thank you for direction, because I've got direction, Lord. I thank you so much for everything that you've placed in our lives, God. And Father, as I stay connected to my pastor and truly seek after what you've led him on still, I thank you, Lord, that you just continue to become greater and greater in my life. Lord, I believe you for big things. I believe you for the fullness of this end time revival, Lord. I believe you for the fullness of what you have for the churches. I believe you for the fullness, God. You said to ask for the nations for our inheritance, and that you would give them to us. And Lord, I believe you for it. I believe you for all that and all that's entailed. Every little aspect of it, every minute piece that I can't see, I thank you, Lord, for it. We believe you for it. I praise you for it. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I don't know all of you here, but I know you enough to know this, that I don't want you going to hell. The most important decision you can make in your life is that you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, if you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you say, how would I know? Well, if you don't know that you did, then you probably didn't. Amen? And if you don't know where you're going when you die, then you probably haven't. And so I would speak to you right now. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a matter of a fact. And so if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to, it's real simple. What we'll do is I have you, all heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around at you. We'll have you raise your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down, then we'll all pray a prayer together. So if that's you and you'd like to receive Jesus and start this plan, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. I'll have you put it down. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. I don't see any hands. I'm going to give one more opportunity. Maybe you have received Jesus and you walked away from him. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes, but I mean you completely walked away. And you'd like to come back to him today. God's still calling you. He still wants you to get in that plan. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand real quick too. Praise the Lord. We see that hand. You put it down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we had a couple of hands, so we're going to pray together. And if you didn't raise your hand, but you knew you needed to, that's okay. It's not the raising your hand that does it, but it is the prayer and the sincerity in your heart. So if you wanted to, you can pray this with us. But everybody just pray this with me. You say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died for me so I could live for you. Wash me with his blood. Cleanse me from my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and get ready to receive tonight's offering. I love the word, and Pastor Jeff is so right. The level of word that we get here, I've talked to different people, and they have come out and they said, you know, I could go to any other church in this area and I could drink if I wanted, I could, you know, sit at the bar and do this. I could go out. I could watch whatever entertainment I wanted to watch. And, you know, that would be accepted amongst the congregation. And I'm not, know my heart, I'm not disrespecting any other church in the area and their standard. They got to follow God like we do. But what I am saying is, you ever watch the people on TV? Sometimes you may or may not see them, the CrossFit. You see the people that train themselves and go to the gym? Now, they've disciplined themselves and they've restricted themselves in exercise and diet that they have become elite. They have become the most fit. And we want to be fit for the Master's use. It's not, don't do this, don't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. We're not setting a level of rules, but we're saying if you want results, you're going to have to pay a price to believe God. You're going to have to give yourself to being a doer of the word to see the victory in your life. I don't want to go to the gym once every 3 months and think that I've arrived. I understand that I'm going to have to go faithfully, consistently to see results. And same thing, giving myself to the Word of God. I can't pick up the Bible once every 3 weeks and think that I'm going to arrive someplace spiritually. I need to be seated in my church. I need to have my man of God minister the Word unto me. So I appreciate that. And I like what Pastor Jeff said about I am. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I love that because the seeking first has to be to the kingdom. And I think even this past Sunday I ministered along those lines as far as the offering. The energy and the effort has to go to the seeking first, but seeking to know I am. Because, I've talked to others just recently, because of our nature, we'll do anything sometimes but to believe God, because it puts us into a place where we don't have to release our faith in I am. In other words, it could be this. Hey, you could believe God to provide that specific need, or you could work 10 extra work hours this week. I'll work the extra 10 hours. So many people are in that position. Hey, if I can do this on myself to eliminate me from believing I am, I'll do this myself. When God's saying the whole time, I want to be your healer. I want to be your provider. I want to be your liberator. I want to be your sin bearer. I want to be your cross bearer. I want to be your peace and your love and your joy. I want to be your sound mind. And if you take that effort and apply it to I am, opposed to your own selfish abilities, you'll see where the Lord will take you. Amen. But glory to God, we have an opportunity to press in. Father, you are our provider, Father, and without faith it is impossible to believe God. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that, Father, you are our provider. Father, you paid the price and became poor that we could be abundantly supplied. So, Father, as we give tonight, as we bring our tithes and our offerings to you, we press into the I am provider. And Father, we thank you for what you've established through Jesus Christ on the cross. So Father, we come kingdom-minded. We come seeking your plan first. And Father, we can honor you with our giving and our substance. So we do that, not, Father, that this is only to put us in a position of stewardship to what you've entrusted to us already. But Father, we release our faith as we give in who you are. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may serve the people. Glory to God. That stirs me. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Thank you so much for obeying God. That I have some notes to let the cat out of the bag. I will be ministering this weekend. So please, everybody, come back. Amen. Sometimes people are like, oh, well, Pastor's not going to be there. Vacation time, I won't be there. Amen. But I got some pivotal things through the word tonight that I was trying to pin a few things down that the Lord had given me, and I got that direction. So praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to this weekend. So amen. Glory to God. As the offering bucket has gone by, why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet before we dismiss. Let's just praise and worship the Lord before we leave here tonight. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We leave changed here tonight. And Father, we focus our effort and our energy, Father, on knowing I am and knowing you. And Father, we give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.